are in the draft report from the accountability working group. And this comes at a time where this is the third report we're issuing. It is open for public comment. And at the same time, the group is requesting CCNSO endorsement or absence of endorsement of the 12 recommendations. So the goal that we have through this webinar is to inform you, but also to inform your input to the cross-community working group on the one side and to the CCNSO council on the other side so that they can make an informed decision regarding whether or not to endorse the recommendations. So this is important to stress because we are hopefully moving to the closer to the conclusion of this effort. I'll go through a number of slides here during this webinar. Please raise your, we're a small group, so you can certainly raise your hand in the AC room, ask questions in the chat, and I will try to answer as we go or recap at the end if need be. And with that, I will jump right into the presentation. Can I have the next slide, please? So the first item is a reminder that the CCWG Accountability started its work as the second track of the INS Stewardship Transition effort, the first one being the ICG with its group on the naming function, the CWG Stewardship, which started earlier. CCWG Accountability actually started exactly a year ago. It's our anniversary today, and I'm happy to celebrate this with you. And the CWG Stewardship recommendations were approved by the chartering organizations upon a certain number of conditions which create a linkage with the accountability group. So we're the last missing piece of the INS stewardship transition puzzle, and this piece is necessary for the CWG stewardship recommendations to hold. So this is a reminder that we are part of a broader effort to provide the NTIA with a global package on the INS stewardship transition. Next slide, please. Of course, the goal of the CCWG accountability is to deliver proposals that enhance ICANN's accountability towards all its stakeholders. And from the start, our work has been divided into two streams. The work stream one is focused on the mechanisms that enhance ICANN's accountability and that must be in place or committed to within the time frame of the INS stewardship transition. And the draft report is exclusively focused on the work stream one recommendations. So this is the package that needs to be in place or committed to by the time of the INS stewardship transition. Next slide, please. This package comes in a very nice packaging in a core proposal of 57 pages, a short report. It's been drafted by professional writers, so it is intended to be very readable, even if you haven't been very familiar with the process. And each of the recommendations has its own specific annex with a lot of details about the recommendation itself, but also how it came about, the process that we followed, how we took into account the comments that we've received across the process over the last year. So there's a lot of documentation that was part of the requirements, but if you read the 57 pages, you have the essence of it. Next slide, please. The proposals are really focused on four building blocks that are the building blocks of the accountability framework within ICANN. Number one are the key principles, which will be and are in the bylaws, and are basically the equivalent of the constitution, if you want, about how ICANN should work. Number two is the appeals and review mechanisms, the judicial, if you want, and our group is suggesting some improvements to that. Number three is the ICANN Board of Directors. The Board of Directors of ICANN is really front and center in the accountability framework as it should be and remains so in the proposals of our group. The Board of Directors is definitely in charge of running day-to-day operations, setting strategy, and so on. And number four is the building block that probably took most of our CCWG bandwidth about the empowerment of the ICANN community to enable this community to oversee the board of direction or to have recourse over certain decisions of the ICANN board of directors. And that is something that if you've heard about the CCWG before, you've heard about a number of times already since this concept emerged early in our work. In more details on these powers, on the next slide, please. The seven powers are described on the AC room here. They're the rejection of budget, strategy, and operating plans, the rejection of changes to ICANN standard bylaws, the approval, that's why you see a green cross, a green tick here instead of a red cross, that the right to approve changes to fundamental bylaws before they come into effect, the right to remove individual board directors, the right to recall the entire ICANN board, the right to launch community independent review process to challenge some board actions or inactions in the name of the community, and the right to reject ICANN board decisions relating to INF function reviews in the separation process. So those are the seven powers, and it is strictly enumerated powers, and the community powers do not extend to day-to-day operations, do not extend to PDP decisions. Next slide, please. Putting these decisions into effect was, of course, looked at very carefully in the group, and a lot of discussion took place. And they have a similar pattern of how they would come into effect. First, on the bottom left corner of the graph that may be a little difficult to read for most of you. Before the powers come into play, there's always the usual engagement phase where the ICANN board or ICANN staff conduct the public comments, and there might be some a number of rounds of engagement phases with the community before reaching a decision. That's the standard ICANN way of operations. Then, in case the community would remain unsatisfied about how this input was treated, the use of the community power would require going through a ladder, several steps of escalation before being used. And these steps all include requirements of community dialogue so that they are driven by consensus and that no power can be used by only one stakeholder group, for instance. So that's what you see in terms of requirements for several SO and ACs to engage the escalation, to hold conference calls, to decide whether to move forward, to hold a community forum, which is a non-decision-making body that would enable every party, including the ICANN board, to present their observations and views on the matter at stake. before finally reaching a decision on very high thresholds of consensus. And on the upper right corner, you may not be able to read the word enforcement, which is only the last resort in case the community power has been used. And according to the bylaws, the ICANN board should comply with it. But the ICANN board, in the unlikely case that the ICANN board would ignore this community decision, then we would go into the enforcement phase. And can we go to the next slide, please? And it's important to stress on this table, which I will not detail every line of, this highlights the levels of support, so the minimum level of support and the maximum level of objection that is required to go through the different steps of the escalation ladder for the different powers. You will see that the power cannot be exercised without a very high level of support. It is expected that five SOACs will participate to this potential decision-making. The CCNSO, of course, the GNSO, the ASO, ALAC, and the GAC. SSAC and RSAC have indicated that they do not want to have this option and that they will obviously, in case the matter at hand is within their remit, be able to provide some advice, but that's another role. And so the underlying requirements for our group have been that the levels of support be high, but that one single SORAC should not be able to block the exercise of a community power by itself. That is the reason why you often have no more than one objection mentioned. Next slide, please. So as I was saying, the enforcement is only a last resort in the unlikely case that the board would not comply with the community decision. There was significant amount of efforts dedicated to finding the right implementation model, the right legal model, to make that possible. For those of you who were in Dublin in the CCNSO discussions around this, you will remember that there was the sole member model and the sole designator model, and the sole designator model had the CCNSO discussion led to a preference to the sole designator model, and the sole designator model is now the model proposed by the CCWG, so that's in line with the Dublin outcome. What you see here. So in summary on this, enforcement is a remote possibility. It is feasible in the proposal through the sole designator model, which was the compromise found by the CCWG and is consistent with what we discussed in Dublin with the TTNSO. Next slide, please. Another key discussion we had in the CCNSO meeting was the process to remove the CCNSO appointed board directors. Similar to the previous point, the Dublin Compromise is still the reference model. It's still in the draft report. And this compromise is based on two things. One is that the CCNSO would have the last word about removing the CCNSO appointed board director. But this decision could only take place after extensive community dialogue with the other SONACs. And the reason for that balance is that on the one hand, it's a CCNSO appointed board director, so the CCNSO should have the last word. But on the other hand, the director in the ICANN board should serve the global public interest. So we want to avoid that a SOAC removes an ICANN board directors only because it hasn't been following its own interests. And so that's the balance that we have found in this discussion. Once again, it was the compromise that we discussed in the CCNSO Dublin discussion. And it is still the option that is presented in the draft report. So I would assume that the support we got in Dublin is still valid. The next slide, please. Next slide is a focus on another of the key Dublin discussion items, the rejection of ICANN's budget or strategic and operating plans. Once again, as discussed in Dublin, there will be a full veto for the five-year plans, because obviously a rejection of a five-year plan, you still have time to recover. It doesn't matter if you take 3 or 6 more months to define a five-year strategic plan. It does not create prejudice to day-to-day operations. But specific process would be set up for the PTI budget, the IMI budget, and in case the annual plans would be rejected, then the caretaker budget there would be a fallback to a caretaker budget, which means that ICANN would still be able to honor its commitments, for instance, paying staff, for instance, paying its providers for existing contracts, and maintaining core operations during the time that the larger budget would be approved. So this caretaker budget concept is still a little bit work in progress, but the principles are now set, and ICANN Chief Financial Officer Xavier Cardes is working on this. I can also say that Giovanni Stepia, as the head of the strategic and operation plan from the CCNSO, is also in the loop on this. So we are still in line with the outcome of our Dublin discussion on this. The next slide, please. Coming now to the judicial aspect or the appeals aspect, the group has been proposing for a while now, and it's been having consensus on that matter, for significant enhancements of the IRP, the independent review process, making it a seven-person standing panel, and the decisions will be binding on the ICANN board, but these decisions will not be have the option of rewriting policy, rewriting decisions. It would be only cancelling decisions or confirming them, so that it's not possible for the IRP to bypass the multi-stakeholder bottom-up policy-making process. And an important point was that the delegations and revocations of CCTLDs are carved out from the remit of the IRP until a proper policy is approved. That was a request by the CCNSO, and that is still in the report. So that's for the IRP. The next slide, please. With this set of powers, we cover the dependencies from the CWG stewardship. The CWG dependencies were that the community be granted rights regarding the development and consideration of the ICANN budget. We discussed it. The community should have rights regarding the ability to appoint, remove directors, and recall the entire board. We discussed this as well. The specific proposals from the CWG should be incorporated into the ICANN bylaws. That's underway, no problem. The powers above should be in fundamental bylaws, so that's bylaws who have specific higher standards for being changed. And that's definitely in line with our proposal. And the independent review panel should be made applicable to INR function and accessible by managers of TLDs. That's also agreed, obviously, with the carve-out for delegations and revocations of TCTLD. So the CWG is currently assessing the draft report and should confirm by the end of the public comment whether the report is meeting their dependencies, but we are confident that this is the case. Next slide, please. Beyond the TWG conditions, our group is also suggesting changes to ICANN's mission, commitments, and core values. The goals are essentially to clarify the scope of ICANN's mission to avoid mission creep. Also to clarify, to basically update and clarify ICANN's missions with regard to protocols, numbers, root servers, where some outdated information was still in the bylaws. And there's been a lot of discussion as well on ICANN's mission, not including the regulation of services on the DNS. So, in short, the mission statement does not give ICANN any more rights on CCTLDs. It's actually creating better safeguards against mission creep. Next slide, please. Part of the mission updates are the discussions that took place on human rights and how to reaffirm ICANN's commitment to it. The recommendation is in two steps. Step one is to add a bylaw articles to a generic one to commit to respect internationally recognized human rights. And step two in workstream two will be to develop the framework of interpretation to clarify what this commitment means in the context of ICANN and avoid ICANN being this being used to extend ICANN's mission and at the same time ensure that the key principles are used by ICANN, for instance, in policy making or in its interactions with stakeholders such as CCTLDs. Next slide, please. Another enhancement suggested, because the SO and ACs are going to be empowered with these seven powers, it is perfectly legitimate to ensure that none of them is captured in the future. So our group is suggesting, as part of its Workstream 1 recommendation, that the regular structural reviews of the CCNSO, for instance, be extended to assess how the CCNSO is accountable to the CCTLDs in general. So not only its members, but also all CCTLDs, because that's the community the CCNSO is designed to represent. So it's a very simple change to the scope of the CCNSO structural review, which is, will still be conducted by third parties selected by the board's structural improvement committee, but the scope of this review will be extended to accountability. And that's really a continuous improvement system that is set up for the ASO and AC themselves. Next slide, please. And last but not least, at least in terms of time spent, was the discussion regarding how the board is required to consider GAC advice, and especially required to try to find a mutually agreeable solution. There was a lot of work on this discussion, with requirements being that trying to avoid that the GAC would switch its operating principles to adopt advice on a simple majority basis, and at the same time avoid that one single country in the GAC be in a position to actually block the GAC from issuing advice, and that which would be could be qualified as capture of the GAC by one country. A balance has been found. It's a compromise that was difficult to emerge because interests were quite diverse and positions were difficult to bring. I mean, gaps were difficult to bridge. The compromise is that GAC advice that is supported by consensus, which means adopting decisions by general agreement in the absence of any formal objection, are the only definition that triggers the obligations for the board. At the same time, it is recognized that it's the GAC has the ability to define what is a sustained formal objection so that no country can just block the whole functioning of the GAC by itself. We hope that this late coming compromise will help find a way forward and be acceptable to all. In terms of the CCNA store requirements, I think that's certainly something that is in the interest of CCTLEs because it reaffirms the GAC's commitment. It actually strengthens the GAC's commitment to consensus decision-making. That's it for the recommendations, and if we go to the next slide, that is the timeline. You will see that we are in the public comment period. So our group is calling for comments from the public, but also from the chartering organizations, which means that this proposal could be final and that we want the TCMSO to indicate in a time frame that's consistent with what you see here whether it would support the 12 recommendations. And if that were not the case, or if significant concerns were raised by one chartering organization or by the public, then we would have to go to a supplemental draft report, and that would take place early in January. So this is really the timeline towards hopefully conclusion of this group that is presented here. Next slide, please. And it's not because we would conclude WorkStream 1 that we would be done with it. This group is really the fruit that keeps on giving. We still have WorkStream 2 ahead of us with an important kickoff that should take place in Marrakesh. And the current recommendations include inserting an interim bylaw in the recommendations in order to strengthen the obligation for the board to consider the recommendations out of WorkStream 2. It also includes a list of topics that will be addressed in WorkStream 2, and these topics will be the enhancement of diversity within ICANN, further enhancement of SOAC accountability, transparency enhancements, document disclosure of how ICANN interacts with governments, and other aspects. The framework of interpretation on human rights, I've introduced that concept earlier. Jurisdiction discussions, especially focusing on jurisdiction for settlement of for the contracts and the settlement of disputes when needed, and enhancements to the ICANN Ombudsman function, and that's it. That's already quite a broad scope. And with that, you have the full overview of the recommendations from the CCWG accountability. And I will now turn the floor back to you for questions.
So if you have, this is Bart for the record, if you have any questions, please either chat, enter them into the chat or raise your hand in the AC room.
So I see David's question. David is asking, when do we expect BIOS language? So that's a very good question, and that's implementation. And that's certainly something that our group is going to also keep working on, even when the recommendations are approved. There's a package of bylaws related to the IRP enhancement, which is expected probably next week, because it's been a consensus recommendation for a few weeks now, so we have tasked our lawyers for producing a first draft. The rest of the bylaws will probably be kicked off, the bylaw drafting will be kicked off when we have a recommendation approved endorsement. Otherwise, we might risk duplicating work or wasting time. But the process is already underway because the timeline for implementation is going to be quite short as well if we want the INS stewardship transition to take place for the current expiration date of the INS contract, which is 30th of December 2016. Next question is, have you heard from the board as to when they may submit their comments on third draft? So the three co-chairs of the CCWG accountability have been invited to a conference call on last Friday. Our understanding is that the board is working towards submitting a comment, I think, in less than a week's time now. Around the 15th or 16th. That was the intent that was announced on this call. It was a public call, that's why I'm describing. Carolina is now asking how the support from chartering organization is going to be considered. So we're looking for input from the CCSO Council. And we believe that the CGNSO Council, just like it did for the CWG report, will be listening to the broader community, the CGNSO members, but also the CGNSO, the CCGLD managers that are not CGNSO members. So hopefully regional organizations, Carolina, can provide inputs to the CCNSO Council. I know Center is working on this because I'm a member. I hope last year we can do so as well. Then it's going to be the CCNSO Council input to the CCWG, which will be taken into account to assess whether there's support of the recommendations. And in terms of providing input, we strongly encourage CCTLDs or regional organizations to provide their comments to the CCNSO at the same time as they copy the CCWG, if you will, so that there's a good synchronization here between the two channels. Mary had a question about the escalation session and the timelines for the escalation. I think, Mary, you probably can go back to this slide, which probably 7 or 8. The escalation process has some tight deadlines. That's true. And I think there's certainly going to be, in terms of implementation, some adjustments needed. The balance is between providing a lot of time for consultations before making every step, which would lead to very long time frames for the community power and probably prevent it being efficient, and the need for efficiency and having a time frame that is that remains acceptable for the exercise, for instance, of a veto of a budget. So we've tried to fine-tune this to something that would be acceptable, but it's possible that some of the feedback we get lead us to some adjustments. Was I addressing your question, Mary? I just want to confirm that this was a good, really an answer to your satisfaction. You're asking a follow-up question about what happens if the time frame for each path is not met. I think the idea at each step is that at each deadline, if you will, there's an assessment of whether a certain level of support or a maximum level of objection has been reached. So if a SO or AC does not answer in time, then its input is neither support nor objection, but that may prevent the exercise of the power to follow up. But once again, in the implementation phase, we'll have to refine this. And obviously, it's not a final product. Are there any other questions? Bob, would you like to take over from here, or?
Go ahead, Mathieu. Sorry, I was on mute.
You're welcome. I think if we have no other question, we can conclude.
Yes.
I really encourage all of you to read at least the summary of the report. Provide your input through your through the CCNSO. Reach out to me or any of the CCNSO appointed members if you need further explanations. We will the CCNSO appointed members will certainly put in writing their assessment of the report and share it. And we are definitely willing to share our understanding of the report with the ECCTLD manager, so feel free to reach out to us. And with that, I thank you very much for your time and attending this webinar, and I look forward to meeting you all soon.
Thank you, Maciej. Just for the record, the presentation, notes, etc. Will be published shortly on the CCNSO website, and we from the CCNSO staff will send out a reminder to the community so they can check on the website where the presentation. Thank you all for attending, and with this I close this webinar. Bye-bye.
Bye.